General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa proudly bring you the drama, the danger, the thrills, and the facts when the long arm of the law travels in squad cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
AM on the 20th of November, Bodley House, Bree Street, Johannesburg. Mr. Oscar Lippman, a manufacturing jeweler, enters the foyer of the building carrying a briefcase. He walks to the lift and presses the button to call it. A young, well-dressed man follows him from the street.
Morning.
Good morning.
Looks like it's going to set into rain earlier than usual today.
Yes.
Fifth. Right. Are you going to give me that bag quietly, or do I have to get rough?
What are you talking?
The bag.
You are getting lost.
Give me the bag and quick.
Take the hands off me.
It's going to register with you just now that I mean business.
Shut up.
The young man grabs the briefcase from Mr. Lippman's outstretched hand on the floor of the lift. The lift stops at the fifth floor. The young man quickly stabs the button marked G with his forefinger, and the lift descends to the ground floor. The moment it arrives and the lift doors open, the young man springs out, colliding with a girl.
Hey! Some people have got the manners of pigs. Help me, somebody.
Yes, in course it does.
Oh, please. There's a man in the lift here on the floor. He doesn't seem very well. There's blood and everything.
Please, Constable Haynes speaking.
My name's Deal. I'm the manager of Lippman's Manufacturing Jewelers at Bodley House, Bree Street. My boss has just been attacked in the lift. He was carrying a briefcase containing a parcel of diamonds. It seems to have been a young man who was in the lift with him.
All right, we'll send someone immediately.
11:40 a.m. A constable on a motorcycle arrives at the scene of the crime. He's told by the girl that the young man with the briefcase has left the building and turned right in the direction of Twist Street. The motorcyclist spends some time searching the streets in the vicinity for anyone answering the vague description he's being provided with. His search is fruitless, and he reports back to control that it's obviously a case for the robbery squad. It becomes another assignment for Lieutenant Dirk Labuschagne.
How do you do, Lieutenant?
Oh, Mr. Deal. Where's the man who was assaulted? What's his name?
Mr. Lippman. Well, we had to rush him to hospital. We couldn't get him to come round.
Oh, don't like the sound of that. What are his injuries?
He'd been hit in the face. He was bleeding from the mouth, and there's a big bruise above his left cheekbone.
Any news from the hospital?
Not so far.
How much are the diamonds worth?
Oh, 15,000 rand.
Was he bringing them here?
Yes.
Where from?
The diamond exchange, Chevalier Street. It's only a short walk from here.
Was such a purchase a regular routine?
Mr. Lippman went once a month. Never at the same time, never on the same day of the week.
Why didn't he have a security service deliver them?
He was very stubborn about that. He didn't think the expense was justified over such a short distance.
How many people work here?
There are nine of us, including the delivery boy.
Mr. Deal, who knew? Who could have known what Mr. Lippman was doing today?
Well, he told me.
Nobody else?
Definitely not.
Well, somebody knew what he had in that case. Mr. Deal, where's the girl who found him?
She's through the back there. She wasn't looking so perky herself, after all. So I told Moses to make her a cup of tea.
Thanks, sir, Mr. Deal. Good morning.
Good morning.
Feeling better?
Yes, much better, thank you.
Nasty shock for you.
How is he? Any news?
Not yet.
Oh, shame. Well, I was coming here to have my engagement ring changed. It's too big for me, you see, too loose. I was afraid of losing it. My fiancé got it here last week. It was a surprise for the weekend. Oh, I nearly died when I saw the mess in the lift. I didn't know it was Mr. Lippman. I've never met him before, you see, but Ronnie said that I should see him. Of course, when the cleaner downstairs said it was Mr. Lippman from 7, I knew right away.
You saw the man who did it?
Oh, it must have been him. There was nobody else in the lift, and he was carrying a case. He was in a tearing hurry. He nearly knocked me over.
What's your name, please?
Penny Shaw.
Shaw. Address, please?
153 Conrad Drive, Blairgowrie.
Blairgowrie. Good. Now, how much of this man did you see?
Oh, dear, I knew you were going to ask me that. I've been trying to remember. I got the impression that he was young and good-looking, on the dark side.
Would you recognize him again, say, from a photograph or so?
Not sure. He bumped me, you see. I recovered in time to see him going out into the street.
Tall, short, fat or thin?
Medium height, I should say. Seemed to have a nice build, good clothes, neat haircut. That's about all I can tell you.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, Sergeant.
Bad news on the fingerprint front, sir. Found great matching impressions on the G button and on the 7th floor button in the lift.
Now, what's bad about that?
They turned out to be the cleaner, sir. Joshua Mkwanazi. That's not quite how I expected, sir.
I can imagine.
Some information for you, Lieutenant. It might help. I've been on to the Diamond Exchange. The parcel purchased by Mr. Lippman was an assorted lot. The stones ranged in size from 2 carats down to diamond chips. They were all in a small humor bag with drawstrings. It's a bag Mr. Lippman always used.
Well, thank you, Mr. Deal. Nothing to help us there, either. But here, not much anyway.
I just thought you'd like to know.
Yes, thank you. My colleague and I are just going downstairs. If there's any more news from Mr. Lippman, we won't be very far away.
Right.
Lieutenant Lovescockney and his colleague, Detective Sergeant Gibson, go down to the street.
He shot out of the building and turned right, according to the girl. Now, perhaps some of these businesses in the vicinity have someone who saw something. They're worth a try, anyway. You take the chemist and the furniture shop. I'll tell the florist and the gents out with us.
No, I'm sorry. If I spend my time gazing into the street, I'd never get anything done.
A young man with a case? Sounds like a traveler. You've seen one traveler, you've seen them all.
Dad's in the back. We had a big order to prepare for a funeral. We only came through for customs.
Yes, I think I did.
Now, what makes you think so?
Well, clothes are our business. I saw this new line going by. It's the casual exec from Freeman's. Only came on the market last week. Lovely set. 40 regular, navy blue pinstripe. They're very much in, you know.
No, I didn't know. Anything else about him?
Did you see where he went?
He jumped a bus on the corner going up the hill.
Did you see his face?
No, just from the back. Very narrow in the hip he was. Soft Italian shoes and a pale blue shirt.
But I thought you only saw him from the back.
Well, I could see his collar. Looked like a Delta cutaway. 15.5-inch neck.
Hmm. You're very observant.
I am when I want to be.
Can you give me some indication of how tall he is?
5'11" or 6'1", I'd say. Very nice haircut, too. Shaped and cut square at the back.
Well, it's possible that we'll be in touch with you again.
Glad to oblige.
Oh, what is the name, please?
Cyril. Cyril Franco.
Much obliged, Mr. Franco.
Sending Detective Sergeant Gibson to the hospital for news of Mr. Lippman, Lieutenant Lovescockney goes to talk to a municipal inspector at the bus terminus.
It was just after 11:20, from all accounts. Now, one of your buses was going up the hill. Which would it be, and where would it be going?
Yeah, just let's have a look here. Cyril D. He'll be in the terminus here in about 10 minutes.
I want to tell you here now, I'm not guilty, eh?
This is Lieutenant Lovescockney, Brixton Robbery Squad.
I think you could help us with an investigation we're pursuing. Now, on your way out of town this last run...
Yeah?
Do you remember a young fellow jumping aboard at the corner of Bree Street?
Yeah. Cocky little devil. Gave me a hard time because I didn't have change for 10 rand. I wouldn't take it and just made him get off at the next stop.
Where was he going?
Oh, only to the top of the hill, so I figured it wouldn't hurt him to walk anyway.
Was this a good-looking youngster carrying a briefcase?
Yeah.
A smart suit, a blue shirt.
Yeah, that's it.
You get a good look at his face.
Well, I mean, he was about as close to me as you are now. He had dark hair, almost black, brown eyes, and a mouth full of teeth.
Now, how old would you say?
Around about 23.
When can you go down to John Foster Square to our records department?
What for?
I want you to look at some photographs.
Okay. Well, I'll be off at about 3 this afternoon.
Right. I'll tell them to expect you. Go and see Captain Opperman. Ask for him at the CID offices.
Lieutenant Labuschagne then goes to the hospital. He finds Detective Sergeant Gibson hovering near the casualty ward.
Good afternoon, sir.
Oh, what's the latest on Mr. Lippman?
Bad news, I'm afraid, sir. The old boy's had a stroke.
Explains to Lieutenant Labuschagne the injury sustained by Mr. Lippman.
The blow he sustained to the left temple must have been particularly vicious. Ruptured an artery causing hemorrhage into the brain. A thrombus has formed in the blood vessel supplying the internal capsule of the brain. Oh,
sounds grim. Doctor, what's the upshot of it all?
It's more or less complete paralysis in the right side of the body. That's bad enough. He's also lost the ability to speak.
Is he going to live?
I can't tell you that. Time will tell.
Is he conscious?
Yes. I suppose you want to talk to him.
If possible. Though, I don't see how, under the circumstances.
Oh, he may be able to write for you.
With his left hand?
Possible.
But how on earth am I going to be able to ask him questions on that basis?
Well, you could ask him questions which require yes or no answers.
No, no, that's true.
Oh, would you like me to come in and help you?
Thanks, sir. That might be help, Doctor.
Mr. Lippman, these gentlemen are police officers. They're investigating your case. They're going to ask you one or two questions. If the answer is no, will you lift one finger of your left hand? And if the answer is yes, clench your fist. You do that? Good. Here's all yours, Lieutenant.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Lippman, I'm sorry about what's happened. We're doing our best to catch up with the youngster concerned. Is he anybody you've seen before?
One finger.
Was he a tall, good-looking youngster? Dark, well-dressed?
Clenching his fist.
Mr. Lippman, would you be able to recognize him if you saw him again?
He says yes.
Do you think you were followed from the Diamond Exchange?
Fist again.
Could he have known what you had in the briefcase?
I think he means he doesn't know.
You see, Mr. Lippman, I'm trying to establish some sort of link between you and the exchange, or between you and your employees.
He says no, vigorously.
You consider your employees to be above suspicion?
He says yes.
Did the man speak to you at all?
Yes, again.
Was he South African?
No.
Was he British?
Yes.
How are we getting there? All right, Mr. Lippman. I won't tire you with any more questions just now. Now, if anything occurs to you that you think may be valuable to us, just get hold of the doctor here. You'll know where to find me.
The next day, Lieutenant Labuschagne goes to see the head of the CID on the Midwater front.
And that's all we've got, sir. Despite further investigations, the trail's ended.
What about an identikit photograph for the newspapers?
I'd welcome it, sir. Somebody somewhere may be able to help us.
Under the guidance of Mr. Oscar Lippman, a composite photograph is arranged of cards illustrating different hairstyles and hairlines, ears, eyes, noses and mouths, chins and jawlines in different shaped faces. When Mr. Lippman is satisfied that a reasonable facsimile of his assailant's face has been composed, the result is photographed, and the photograph is distributed to newspapers throughout the country, with an appeal that anyone knowing of the whereabouts of such a man should contact Lieutenant Bubba Scottney, telephone number 354114.
Lieutenant Bubba Scottney. Oh, yes. I'm glad to see your dog, did he? It's your what? Oh, it's Chihuahua. Well, I won't worry. I suppose he's big enough to look after himself. Lieutenant Bubba Scottney. I see. Yes, that's understandable. Yeah. Well, next time he tries to pinch your knee in the bicycle, you just call him Lacherette. Lieutenant Bubba Scottney. Yes. Yes. And, what's the address? Well, thank you. And what makes you so sure it's the man we're after? Oh, well, because he's grown a beard. In 2 days. Lieutenant Bubba Scottney.
Lister, that picture in the paper.
Yes.
He snatched a briefcase, didn't he?
Yes.
I'm sure he was out our way yesterday afternoon.
And, where's your way?
The Witkoppen. We found pigs here. Now, it was after 4. I just slipped up to the house to have tea with my missus.
Well, it looks like nice rain cooking up for the south, Mommy, eh?
Let's hope so, Dad. Cool things down a bit. Who's the visitor?
Huh? Well, what was it, Father?
Down there by the road.
I didn't see him.
Oh, well, I wouldn't worry. I thought he was waiting for you.
Is he lighting a fire there?
Yes, looks like it.
A cheeky devil. Oh, well, I'll go and fix it.
Don't be long, Daddy. Your tea will be spoiled.
Yeah, he ran away when he saw me coming. Jumped into a red sports car.
Registration number?
Now you got me there. I was so concerned with what he was burning, I never thought to look.
Here it is, Arthur.
Thanks. This is Lieutenant Bubba Scottney, by the way.
Hello.
How do you do, Mrs. DeCock?
You see, it's a briefcase. I was able to pull it off before it was damaged too much. Is that what you're looking for?
Lieutenant Bubba Scottney puts the scorched briefcase into a plastic sample packet, and he takes it to the hospital where Mr. Lipman identifies the case as being his. The Brigadier advises Lieutenant Bubba Scottney to take it to the Bureau of Standards in Pretoria for intensive examination. In a matter of hours, a laboratory technician is able to tell the police officer the results of the examination and analysis.
Well, as you'd imagine, there was plenty of carbon about, the result of the fire. There was a bent staple inside and some small fragments of good quality paper and traces of schmaltz.
Schmaltz?
There's chicken fat. Perhaps somebody was taking sandwiches to work.
Possibly Mr. Lipman. Yes, go on.
The house dust, which leads me to something rather unusual. Sawdust, Rhodesian teak with traces of varnish.
Was the wood varnish?
Yes, there was a preponderance of varnish in the small sample at my disposal. I don't know whether that's significant or not.
Varnished Rhodesian teak? Sawdust? Where the devil did that come from?
No, Rhodesian teak is commonly used for flooring. You know, for parquet.
Yeah, that might explain the varnish, but how did it come to be sawdust?
Oh, that's your job, not mine.
Well, the sample's clean. New, is that the word I'm seeing?
You mean, did it become sawdust recently?
That's it.
I'd say yes to that, within the last day or two. Possibly a week.
Upon his return to Johannesburg, Lieutenant Bubba Scottney, in company with Detective Sergeant Gibson, visits firms whose speciality is parquet flooring.
And sanding. Now, this is a metal hillbrow in Berea. Now, the man we're looking for seemed to be heading for this point here. Now, he was on a bus. He ought to be put off at the bus stop. Now, this is only a hunch, but we've nothing else to work on. It's likely that he lives within half a mile of this point. We'll use the bus stop as center for a radius of half a mile. Now, I want to know if your firm has undertaken any floor sanding in this area, in a private house, flats, a boarding house, or an hotel, within the last week or 10 days or so.
The lieutenant puts the same proposition and question to 8 firms before he gets a break.
Yes, Canberra Heights. It's in Cotswold Street and the Berea end, I remember. We did all the flats out recently. Sanded the floors. The owner's renovating and wants to put the rents up.
Who can I talk to there?
Let me see. Yes. Our contact was a Mrs. De Beer. She's the caretaker.
Dior. I'm Mrs. De Beer. What's the trouble?
Mrs. De Beer, how many flats are there in this story?
Oh, there's 100 altogether.
I believe he had all the floors sanded recently.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. I only finished yesterday.
Are the floors Rhodesian teak?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, they are. What's this all about?
Do any of your tenants look like this, Mrs. De Beer?
Dear, let me think now. Yeah. Mr. Prentice is in 206.
Does he drive a red sports car?
Yeah. What's he been up to?
Is he in at the moment?
No, at least I don't think so. I was in the basement not 5 minutes ago and his car wasn't there then.
Is he at home during the day a lot?
Yes.
But doesn't he work?
Oh, he works in some restaurant or other, only at night. Seems to do very well for himself.
I see. Come on, Sergeant. We'll wait in the basement.
It's 5:25 when the red sports car turns into the basement garage.
Mr. Prentice.
That's right.
We have reason to believe that you can assist us with our investigations into an assault and robbery case.
Me? You must be making some mistake.
Oh, possibly, but I must ask you to accompany us.
Why? Where to?
Hillbrow Police Station.
What for?
To attend an identification parade.
Is this going to take long?
Oh, 10 or 15 minutes.
Well, I'm due at work at 6:30.
Oh, this is much more important than that, Mr. Prentice. I'm sure your employers will understand when you explain.
All right, but you're barking up the wrong tree, that's for sure.
Oh, I'll risk it. Sergeant.
Yes, sir?
Lay on an identification parade. 10 or a dozen men. I'm going to get the hospital to let us have Mr. Lipman in a wheelchair.
Right, sir.
Settle down, please. Line up.
Okay.
Now, Mr. Lipman, I'm going to push you along the line here. If you see anyone resembling the man who assaulted you in the lift on the 20th, I want you to touch him with your left hand. Now, don't be alarmed. There's nothing for you to worry about. Here we go. Not this one, eh? Oh, this one. Number 3 is in the clear.
So ridiculous.
If you're innocent, Mr. Prentice, you've nothing to fear.
I'm a peaceable citizen. I came to this country to get on with carving a decent career for myself.
Come along, Mr. Prentice.
Where are we going?
To your flat. We have reason to believe that you have a parcel of diamonds in your possession.
Diamonds? I've never heard anything so daft in all my life. What would I be doing with diamonds?
Yes, all right, Mr. Prentice. That'll do. This way.
Lubbers-Cartney and Detective Sergeant Gibson go with Prentice to Canberra Heights. They enter the lift in the basement.
Which floor?
10th.
Right. Now, which one's yours?
The one on the end.
Right. Hey, wait a minute. Mr. Beer said you were in 206.
Bright, aren't you?
Hey! Grab him, Sergeant!
Here's a committee!
Grab him, Sergeant! You're going to jump!
Having tricked the police officers into going up to the 10th floor, Prentice suddenly ran for the glass-in parapet. His end was spectacular, to say the least. He dived through the glass and fell to the street below. And thus ended a life of crime which had begun when Prentice was in school in England. At the time of his death, he was actually wanted in connection with an armed robbery in Birmingham. He lived by his wits, and being short of money and having to meet some pressing gambling debts, he waited outside the diamond exchange until someone emerged carrying a briefcase. His victim was Mr. Oscar Lipman, who incidentally recovered almost completely. He now lives on the Natal South Coast in premature retirement with his wife. The parcel of diamonds was recovered intact.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting, in fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of squad cars. again next Friday evening to another authentic story in our dramatic South African police series, Squad Cars, brought to you by General Motors, makers of the biggest and most exciting range of cars, trucks, and commercial vehicles in the world. Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Beaumont, Chevrolet, Opel, Holden, Vauxhall, Bedford, GMC, and Ranger, South Africa's own car.